Almost got more kids going that way than we've got out here, you know. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, when we think about it, how quickly things change in a week's time. Who knew that Tamara would have the wreck and Donna would have the surgery and the young man would die unexpectedly and all of those things that happened that a week ago when I stood here, we had no clue of what was going to happen. But the Lord's been good to look after us and care for us. And I appreciate all of these that, you know, at the last minute scramble, you know, leading the music and making the announcements and everything that folks have filled in at the last minute to make sure that, as I have led music once or twice, and believe me, it ain't pretty. That's not good English, but that describes it. All right, what I want to share with you this morning, I wish I could make it plainer than I think I probably will, but it has the potential of being very helpful to you if I can get it across. Now, let me ask you a question. Who runs your life? Who tells you what to do? Now, men, be careful about mumbling my wife. She might hear you and you'd be in trouble, and that's not the right answer anyway. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll start there and we'll look at several other scriptures before we finish. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch what Paul says about us? He says we are a three-part being. We're a spirit, a soul, and a body. A spirit, a soul, and a body. And your soul is made up of your mind, will, and emotions. Now, sometimes we use the word spirit and soul interchangeably, but there is a difference. Your spirit is that eternal, godlike part of you that's going to live forever, either in a place of blessedness or a place of not so good. Your spirit is that eternal part that's going to live forever. Now, animals are a two-part being. You know they have a body. That's how we tell a cow from a horse, from a dog, from a cat. And you know animals have a soul, so to speak, in that they have emotions. If you have a little pet dog or something that goes ballistic when you come home from being gone, you know that they have emotions. And an animal can really be stubborn. You ever plowed with a mule? You know. They can be stubborn. But they don't have that spirit, that God-like nature inside. Now the question is, which part of you runs you? Which part of you controls you? You think about it, let's start with the body. You realize, very simply, if somebody's an alcoholic, a drug addict, a sex addict, their bodies control what they do. They will do anything and everything, legal and illegal, to get a hold of that alcohol, to get a hold of those drugs, to participate in those sex acts. Their bodies literally control them. Drug addicts go from one fix to the next fix. They just can't ever be satisfied from one high to another high. Their bodies control them. Now, most of us here, probably none of that applies to us. But does your body ever control you? Now, I'm going to confess something, and I know none of you have been guilty of this, but I'll confess it anyway. About 8 o'clock every night, my body says to me, I want something sweet. And I say to my body, listen, you just had a big supper, you're stuffed, you ate too much, you don't need anything else. But my body says, yeah, but something sweet would, just a little something sweet would be so good. And if I give in to that, next thing you know, he says, you know, a little something salty. And the health books say that nuts are really good for you. So if you got some salted nuts, that'll be really good. And you know, there are times before the night's over, I'll look down and I'll think, I just consumed 800 calories that I didn't want, I didn't need. But my body said, I got to have it. Now you can look at me and tell me that I've let my body rule too many times. I'm getting better. And I know none of you would ever be guilty of any of that. So, but you know, our bodies can control us. Even good Christian folks, if we're not careful, our bodies tell us what to do. And then with some, it's their soul. What about their emotions? Do your emotions control you? Fear? There are people like Gideon in the Bible that was so fearful. What about anger? A couple of times out on the interstate, I've gotten behind a truck that evidently had some kind of defect. And it was sending out sparks out of the wheel. And it started little fires in the edges of every little field as it went down. You know, there are people like that. All day long, they send out sparks. Everywhere they go, they're hurting somebody's feelings. They're saying something bad. This anger just controls them. Everywhere they are, they're angry, angry, angry. They're telling off the person, the clerk. They're telling off the waitress. Wherever they are, anger just controls them. And you know, there are people that say, well, now, preacher, you got to understand, I just cannot control my anger. That's just such a part of me, I can't control it. I think you're probably wrong. Let's have this picture. You're mad, you got your fist balled up, and you're telling off your wife or your kid, and you're just letting them have it right and left. Policeman pulls up and walks up and says, hey, son, what's going on? Oh, nothing. I'm just telling my kid he ought to need to be cleaning his room a little better. How fast do we control our anger if a policeman walks up? Or maybe even a preacher that you admire. If we can control our anger, if a policeman walks up, or a pastor, then we can control our anger at other times as well. But there are people whose emotions of anger rule their life. Everywhere they go. You know, I can think of people over the years and, you know, I see them come in the door and I'm thinking, who are they going to irritate today? Whose feelings are they going to hurt today? Anger. And then what about will? Stubbornness, maybe. My way or the highway? I think about a lady in the church where I knew about. She walked by a Sunday school class. Not hers. Just walked by a Sunday school class. I don't like the color of those walls. I don't like those drapes. She'd use her key to come in the middle of the week and paint that room and put new drapes up. Maybe the class didn't want it, but it was going to be her way or nothing. What about our minds? How many people their minds control them? From the time we are little babies, people start telling stuff. You know, that baby's born and his mind's like a sort of an empty computer, and you start putting stuff in that baby's mind. That's why kids in Muslim countries grow up believing the only way to God is Islam. In Buddhist countries grow up believing the only way to God is Buddhism. This is why you read some of the nutty things in the paper that people say. Their minds have been programmed a certain way. What's the old saying? Garbage in, garbage out. Paul said, concerning the body, I beat my body, I keep it in subjection, lest I become a castaway. In other words, I become useless to the kingdom of God. Paul realized that if he let his body control him, his body could lead him astray, and he would become useless to the kingdom of God. And you know of pastors and others, church leaders, who gave in to the fleshly desires and it ruined their witness for the Lord. Paul says about the mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, take this book, read it, study it, believe it, apply it, and our minds begin to be transformed. We begin to think different. We begin to see situations different. We begin to see people different because our minds, we can, in a sense, we can reprogram the computer. Transform, Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world make you just like itself. But be transformed by your mind being renewed by the power of God, by the Word of God. And it's amazing the difference to watch people and to observe their lives when you see, here's a man, here's a woman, here's a young person who spends so much time in the Word of God that it affects the way they think, the way they act, the way they talk. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. But then, there's the Spirit. The part of you that will live forever. The real you. We know when we come to a funeral and here's a body, but the spirit's gone. Even lost people, unsaved people, people without Jesus, have that spirit and it's going to live forever. And that spirit can give them insight and wisdom apart from the mind or the body. You ever talk with somebody and they've just really done well in a certain business enterprise or a certain decision they made, and they said, you know, I don't know why, I just felt something down inside that said, do this. That's that spirit. giving them instruction and guidance. That can happen with a lost person. But best of all, most blessed of all, is when that spirit is born again, when we're saved. The Bible says we become a new creation, a new creature. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, be born from above, be born anew. When that inner spirit of yours and mine becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and that inner spirit is suddenly born again, we become united with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's God. And all of a sudden, that inner spirit has the very presence of God living down inside of me and inside of you. And that Holy Spirit living down inside of us, after all, the Holy Spirit being God, He knows the past, He knows the present, He knows the future. He knows everything that's going on. And when we learn to listen to that Holy Spirit down inside, as it meshes with our spirit, and begin to let that spirit drive and motivate and move our lives, it's amazing the blessings that come. And the more we fall into line with the will of God. Think about a couple of biblical examples. You remember when they had the controversy that we read about in the book of Acts about Gentiles becoming a part of the church and whether or not they had to be circumcised and keep all the Jewish rituals and everything. And Paul goes to Jerusalem and they have a conference. And you remember what was said as they wrote back to the churches? It seemed good to what? To whom? The Holy Spirit and to us, that here's what we're going to do. Here's the rules that we lay out for you. You see, they didn't get together and, in a sense, have a political campaign about this, that, and the other. They heard the evidence, but then they drew on that inner spirit, directed by the Holy Spirit, and they said it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us that this is the direction we're going. You think about Paul in that missionary journey, and he says he comes to a certain place, and he said, we were going to go here, but the Holy Spirit said, no. And so we thought, well, we'll go here, and he said, no. And then they had the vision, come over to Macedonia. You see, down inside, Paul had that direction of life that led him in that certain direction. Now, you say, well, you know, that's in the Bible. That's a long time ago. That was for other folks. What about us? What about us? I've got about, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 examples I want to give you of how this has worked in other people's lives. Read the story of a farmer out in one of the western states, maybe Oklahoma, where ordinary the rainfall each year was enough to raise wheat, but that was all. But every so many years, down inside, he'd hear, plant corn. And he'd plant corn, and that year there'd be enough rain for corn. And he'd make a killing. Next year, all of his neighbors seen how much money he made planting corn. They'd plant corn. He'd go back to wheat. Wouldn't be enough rain for corn that year, and they didn't do very well. His wheat did fine. But year after year after year, he knew just down inside, plant wheat or plant corn. And whatever he sensed down inside, whatever he heard down inside, His Spirit directing as with the Holy Spirit made a difference. I have a friend that had a little extra money laying around, and he was thinking about investing it. And he had a friend that was a top-notch, A1, number one investor. And so he got with him and he said, I need to make some investments, and would you guide me? And so over a period of months, they came up with a solid investment plan. Right at the last minute, my friend said, not right, I'm not going to do it. And that was right before 2007 and 8 when the bottom fell out. He would have lost, he said, at least half of his money if he hadn't listened to that spirit down inside that said, don't do it. It seemed wise. It seemed the thing to do to his mind. It seemed like a great opportunity. But down inside, he heard no. I read about two men who had been to a Bible conference or some kind of religious meeting, and they get to the airport and they're booked on the same plane. And one of them turns to the other and he says, just don't feel right about taking this plane. I believe I'm going to take a later one. The other man says, I don't feel right about taking it either, but I've made a promise that I'm going to be somewhere at a certain time, so I'm going to take the plane even though I don't feel right. He never made his destination because the plane crashed. The Holy Spirit, that spirit down inside dealing with their spirit, was saying, don't get on this plane. One said, I'll listen. One said, I won't. And it made a difference in who lived and who didn't. I think about the same friend that didn't do the investment, got saved when he was in college. And it wasn't long till he's back at home leading a youth group. Now he said he had no business leading the youth group, but he was the oldest youth in the bunch, so he ended up leading it. And there was a young lady that was his age that sort of came on and helped him lead. And before long, people kept saying, you two need to get married. You two need to get married. And he thought, she's pretty. She's Christian. She's involved in the church, and they looked at rings. I don't know whether he ever bought her one or not. But suddenly down inside, nope, not her. And he said no. And they departed as friends, and they're still friends. Wasn't a thing wrong with her. She was pretty. She was Christian. She was intelligent. A few months later, the Lord called him to Bible college, and there he met the woman that has been his wife now for about 40 years. And they are so perfectly matched, it's unreal. He listened. He listened. Over the years, I've met a few folks that said to me, preacher, Lord told me not to marry him or not to marry her. But I didn't listen. I didn't listen. You see, that spirit down on the inside wants to show us what's right and what's wrong. Some of you that are older, like I am, remember rushing to your TV on a certain day, 9/11, and watching the planes crash into those towers. And depending on which channel you were watching, which commentators, the first estimates were that something like maybe 10, 20, 30,000 people would lose their lives. But what was it? 3,200 or something, you know, wasn't nearly that great big number. And then the stories started coming out and are still coming out. You know, I just felt down inside, I shouldn't go to work today. I wasn't sick. Didn't have a reason not to go, but I just felt down inside, I shouldn't go to work. Because they didn't go to work, they weren't there at that window where the plane hit. You see, it's practical to listen to the Spirit down inside and let the Spirit down inside direct our lives. I love it when, and feel blessed, when I pick up the phone and call somebody in another town, another state, and they say, "Preacher, how'd you know it was my birthday? Or how'd you know it was 1 year ago today that my son died?" My mind didn't know that. But my spirit did. Now, do I always get it right? Nope. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. What I'm saying, try to give you an example how the Lord can use you to minister to people. When down inside, you just feel like, you know, I just need to pick up the phone and call so-and-so. Or I need to just get in my car and go visit so-and-so. It's interesting, there have been times I've been out visiting, and I think of one night particularly, and I was closer from here to the, I was closer than from here to the parsonage to my house. And I was going home, and next thing I know, I'm going up a side road. And I pull into the lady's yard, and I think, and there's about six or seven church members that live down there that, you know, you could have hit them with a baseball, you know, throwing. The houses were, but I pulled into a certain yard, and the lady walked out on the porch and said, "Preacher, I am so glad you're here. I needed you tonight because of some disaster that she had just heard." I didn't know it. Something down inside did. What concerns me is how many times I miss it. But you see, God wants to bless you and use you to be a blessing to others. And when we allow the Spirit down inside to use us, to warn us, to direct us, to prosper us, it's amazing how God will begin to bless us and bless others through us. We can go through life letting our body run our life. We can go through life letting our emotions, our wills, even an unrenewed mind directing our life. We can live a long life. But if we want to live a God blessed life and a God's life that is a blessing, we need to listen to that renewed spirit that's joined with the Holy Spirit and let Him direct our life. And when He runs the show, it's amazing how much different your life will be as you receive the blessings of God and you give the blessings of God. Who runs your life? Who runs your life? Maybe pray. Father, I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit will help us to understand, will give us ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear what You're trying to say to us. And Lord, I know that Your plans and purposes are to bless us and not curse us. So Father, help us to learn to listen to that Spirit inside connected to the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. And Lord, even when we miss it, we know that you'll make a difference. Lord, we want to be a blessing. We want to be blessed. May we hear from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have the invitation, if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never received Jesus Christ, that spirit inside of you is still lost. And it'll spend an eternity apart from God. If you've received Jesus, that spirit is saved and you'll spend an eternity with God. If you've never received Jesus, we invite you to do that. There are other decisions you need to make. Either share with me or share at the altar. Would you come?